Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. The show is also sponsored by reclaimingtherepublic.org, 1798part2.org, and republicreview.org. And you are listening to the only show that actually postulates, and there's nobody that's been able to refute this postulation or my assertion in how we can save the republic by auditing and using Republic Review. So if you cannot listen to this entire show, then it is rebroadcasted tomorrow from 5 to 6, and it'll be rebroadcasted Saturday at 11 and Sunday at 9 p.m. That way you can get your fix on and get all of the content. Just like last week, I had so much information and so much content, I ended up having to really cut out any of my hyperbolic conversation and ranting. But I've tried to set all of that aside, so I don't have anything that's pre-recorded. But I thought it was very important to play both Mitchell Nicholas Gerber's content, as well as follow-up content, as well as playing Jenny's content, Jenny Graham, especially because we were not able to get her opponent, and they were just unavailable. They're just non-responsive. Dave Wilson is non-responsive. Apparently, he doesn't want to talk or answer questions about the Constitution. And folks, this is so important that your constituents of these people who want to serve you, they must understand. And as a matter of fact, I'm talking to a guy that has a National Constitution Club. He's actually pushing for certifications that people actually have to understand and answer tests and qualify to become a politician, just like you have to have a certification for a plumber or somebody to groom your dog. Why is it that we're not having some level of qualifications in understanding the Constitution? And so, I mean, I wrote about this in my book. We have to have constitutional tests to anybody that has to raise their arm to the square and take an oath in supporting and defending the Constitution. It is not about using the public purse to buy people's votes and to provide favors for those who get them elected. That is the epitome of a corrupt system. But anyway, I'm ranting and digressing. As you know, this is an educational show, and many parts of these shows actually build off of each other. Actually, this show builds off of others, but many parts of these shows actually help you understand at a grander scale of what we're dealing with, both from a Republic Review, from an ideological society, and our mores of society, and so forth. So listening to the podcast and understanding the previous content will actually help you understand future content as I talk about Platonism or so forth. So please, you can get these podcasts at reclaimingtherepublic.org. If things go the way I plan, and you know, God willing, and I can finally get some support, who knows, we'll maybe put these things up into a cloud space so that you can actually be fed RSS notifications and be able to pull in the podcast. That way you can stay informed regarding the local information, because there is really no other voice out here. Today, I'm going to focus on Stevens County's election, since there are a lot of people working in Spokane, commuting out to Stevens County and so forth. And my next Stevens County election broadcast will be the 10th of October. So for you commuters who are driving home, you will definitely want to listen to that show, because I'm going to have a couple of candidates on, and I'm going to kind of give you some real highlights like I'm going to do today at the end of the show. We're going to kind of go through my first assessment and just listening to some of these different candidate forms and so forth, and looking at the voter information. It is the status quo that we're seeing, especially on the progressive side. But before I do all of that, let me get the local stuff out of the way, because Rob Chase is working hard. He needs your support. I've not yet heard from Mary. I've actually sent an email a long time ago inviting her to come on. I'm planning on hopefully having Rob back on again. But anyway, his coffee club that meets every Friday morning, 7 a.m., is going to have extreme expeditions that will be kind of talking about their search for Bigfoot this Friday. Next Friday, he's going to have Bobby Rose, who is going to be speaking about the Spokane tribe, their history, culture, and so forth. If you want to understand the those indigenous folks that have lived here before the, you know, the Western culture and so forth had kind of taken their, if you want to call it conquest, in establishing the Western society throughout the world. Believe it or not, folks, they actually, and as a matter of fact, England was one of the very few, England and France, and even Holland, the Northern European states that followed the laws of nations in their conquest, they were the only ones that really abided by the laws of nations. The ones that abused their power and actually violated the laws of nations was Portugal, Spain, and that's why you can look to the south of us and see all of the problems, systemic problems, that have literally come from what they did and how they treated those people in their conquest, as well as their paradigm and the mores from their society. There you go. If you want to see a stark contrast from a productive society to one that is literally molded more towards a caste system, a levels of society where you have the workers that are kept in their place and those who are the masters, if you want to call it enslavement or so forth. But that was the monarchical framework that they actually kind of imposed upon those nations to the south of us. That's why they have all these problems. Unlike the English, especially the English, and there's a huge difference because of the Magna Carta, because of the Englishman's Bill of Rights and the individual liberty that became a part of the Englishman heritage from 1215 on as England developed through the Age of Enlightenment. That's why there is such a stark contrast between the rest of the European nations. Even France didn't have this. That's why you still see problems within the France's former colonies and so forth. Anyway, let me kind of jump forward here. Northwest Grassroots will be having another meeting. And if you miss their meetings, you can watch their meetings on the YouTube channel. They record the entire thing. They put it up there. And to their own demise with the James Alsup, even though there was really nothing that was any type of endorsement for white supremacy that has become political hay for a very maniacal politician in the local area, who we've already talked about. And I will just basically say it's the sheriff, because you, by all means, go and watch his three-part comments where he besmirches a lot of good patriots because he wants to use a broad brush in demonizing and basically trying to be very divisive. And I'm going, you know, it's time that people put their agendas aside and start leading on the common principles and become unifiers instead of dividers. So anyway, you can subscribe to their channel and then you will get RSS feeds and notifications when the Northwest Grass movie night occurs if you don't get a chance to go. But if you do start subscribing and you do start commenting and reaching out to them, maybe you'll be on their mailing list of notifications for their events and so forth. I hope to have this coming week Dave Lucas, because I know he's challenged Tim Ornsby to a debate. Tim Ornsby. He has been dodging this whole thing and is really trying not to do a face-to-face debate with Dave Lucas. Dave Lucas, by far, head and shoulders, is the better candidate to go serve the good people within this district. And so I'm hoping to have both of them on the show, and I hope to be able to call them out on, you know, this whole topic, but we'll see. I'm sending an email, if not tonight, maybe tomorrow or Friday, but I will reach out to them to try to get them in studio for Monday or Tuesday next week so that we can actually have a nice little, you know, honest conversation, and I can ask Tim the questions that need to be answered about the Constitution. Here's a guy that is serving us. Does he understand the Constitution? You know, I don't know, but only he can actually help us understand that. I got a minute left, and I want to make a note on local businesses. My hat off again to Quam's watch and jewelry repair and so forth. They're out there on, what is that, Gardner? It's over by Lincoln. Anyway, Quam's jewelry. Forgive me for not knowing the address. I just know exactly how to get there. But I want to put my hat off to them because they have been just impressively honest, and the way they do business, I just love it. I mean, when I walked in there the first time with a brand new watch that didn't seem to be working, and I asked them, I think I need a new battery for this. They went back, and instead of selling me a battery like every other watch dealer would have done, because I've had it happen several times, they said, oh no, there was just a little tab we had to pull out, so you owe us nothing. And I go, wow, here was an opportunity that they could have actually gouged me for, you know, $15-$20 for a watch battery. But instead, they were honest. And so I've taken my clock to them. They've done great work. I swear, if you need clock, watch repair, or what have you, before you go anywhere else, go to Quam's. And again, forgive me, it's Quamms. And they're right there by Lincoln. I think it's just right off Lincoln, which, you know, everybody should know where. And it's in between, I believe, Wellesley and... I'm going to look it up while I'm on break because I want you to have the exact information. So I will be back, and I've got more information on local businesses for you, my personal take on them. And so we'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Thank you so much. Most people resist change, but how would you like to be rewarded in at least two ways for considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy believes your smile is a reflection upon him, and that is a mutually shared reward between both him and you. Another reward is improving your overall health by working with your dentist like Dr. Tracy and developing a strategy in maintaining your dental health. But how would you like a direct incentive in considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy and his staff from time to time offer a special referral program. For every new patient you refer who becomes a patient, Dr. Tracy will reward you with $50 off your dental work. Consequently, if you refer five people, that's $250 off your dental work. Give them a call and ask for the details and the availability of the referral program by calling 466-6614 or go to VonTracyDDS.com. Again, that's 466-6614 or sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so I am back and I have the information. Forgive me. I actually probably should have had all of this because I know I wanted to plug Quam's, and there's Quam's Watch Center. They're on 3916 North Lincoln Street, and that is, of course, on the north side of Spokane. They're right there off of Garland. They're just north of Garland, if you know where Garland is. I was going to call it Garner or something else. Forgive me. I am bad with names. I confess on that. More importantly, though, I think that this is one of those businesses that actually deserves your patronage, just due to the fact of their impeccable honesty, their honesty in pricing, and so forth. I know that that is a rare commodity considering the mores of our society and how our education system has completely debased this society in so many ways. And if you've been listening to the show, you already know that. So please, and it's QUAMS Watch Center. And again, that's on 3916 North Lincoln Street, and that's North Spokane. So if you've got a watch, clock, or what have you, they can fix it. And you would, believe me, you can trust these folks. They have been nothing but honest and forthright in helping me keep our watches and clocks up to snuff. Now, I can tell you that I have been literally livid regarding the damage that has been done to what I consider a classic car. It's not an official classic yet, but considering that there's barely 2,000 of the cars that I have that have been made, and the damages that occurred at Camp Auto Repair, which is well over a year ago, and the fact that they have yet to be able to produce any type of remedy for the damage done, I'm just at a loss of words. And so I don't know what to do, but if you happen to have a good idea, because what I don't want to do is I don't want to besmirch companies' good names, but when it goes well over a year since I picked up the car and pointed out the damages and they've yet to do anything, help me out. If you have a good idea of how to incentivize companies to behave better, please let me know, because it seems like we have an abundance of companies that think that they can, you know, take advantage or be able to get away with doing things that, you know, you have to be accountable and responsible. That comes hand in hand with the concepts of liberty. And so if you understand any incentives, then, or you know of any way of getting somebody to actually fix the problems that they have created for you, please let me know. I'd appreciate it. I have been really kind of reserved in not going down the quick litigation path, but I know I only have so much time. Even though this may even fall into a small claims court issue, I wanted, actually, when I talked to them a year ago, when I pointed out the damage, I go, I'd rather brag about you. I do not like complaining. And so I've held my tongue for well over a year since I've picked that car up. I've got too much other things to cover. The other thing is that I've got a fiasco going on with a bad landscaper, and I'm going, you've got to be kidding me. Came in, promised me the world, charged me for the world that he was going to deliver, and then literally did a dump and run. And I'm going to let you know that because of some of this stuff, it really kind of incentivizes me to probably keep this show going even after the election, just to help keep businesses honest. Because I love walking into a business, they don't know who I am. And as long as I have this anonymity, because behind the microphone is, you know, you really have to look me up to at least figure out who I am. And will you recognize me when I walk in your store? Maybe not. And I will tell you who you can trust and who's really going to give you the runaround. Because I don't think we need businesses that they have a business model of giving people the runaround. I honestly think that there are plenty of really good businesses that we need to help, you know, develop and help nurture so that they can grow and provide even better services. And that's what Spokane needs. Spokane needs to get back onto those principles that develop good business relationships and get rid of these politicians that are destroying businesses, small businesses, and so forth. I can go on about the road or traffic calming, the road diets, or what have you with the progressive city council, but I'm not going to, because there's a lot of other things I really need to get out here so that you understand. And even more importantly, I want to thank you for listening to this show, because I know that this show has really grown, and it's just due to the fact that you don't have anything else to tune into. And it really bothers me that the only local voice that has a conservative and actually a constitutional paradigm can't get anybody to provide any type of sponsorships or what have you. I know that because I have a national show, I'm very busy, and I've had a couple of people, you know, send me tickles. I'm not, my charges for sponsoring this show is only to cover my costs. It is not for me to make money. Therefore, I'm cheap. It's literally that simple. I am cheap because it is not about money for me. So if you want to reach out and help, then that's great. You can send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. But for those of you who have been listening and sharing the information and getting other people to listen and tune in, because Spokane needs a really good independent, especially a neutral channel like this with KSBN, I think it's really important that you can actually tune in and be able to listen to, I'm hoping I'm objective, but at least the conservative and a constitutional paradigm towards the issues and candidates in this local area. If we don't have that mind model and frame around these issues and candidates, and that mind model or frame is the Constitution, if we're not centering on that, then we are really allowing them to run rickshaw over us. And that is why we have all of the problems that we do. And I can prove that, and I have proved that. And moving forward, I'll continue to prove that if I can get more support. But anyway, I just wanted to let you know with my Red State Talk radio show, that is really growing. And the reason why is because people find it very refreshing that you actually have and are putting out there a solution that people can sink their teeth into. Show me any candidate, or not candidate, I'm sorry, getting off the election. Show me any other conservative talk show host that actually has provided and postulated a tangible solution to saving the Constitution. They write all sorts of books that tell you, oh, these things are bad. It's, you know, we're going to hell in a handbasket. You know, we're going to fail. So they're just stating the obvious. And I can't believe that they're selling books to tell people the obvious stuff. But anyway, they are. And that's great because they're smart marketeers and smart businessmen. But I will tell you that with less than a year, I am beating out Beck and a lot of other big name shows in the streaming world. And the fact that on Red State Talk Radio, we're beaming across 300 radio stations in the world, that's actually, it says a lot. With the very little time and without all the support and so forth, but I'm telling you that this is pretty big because there's no doubt in my mind the Tea Party got started because people wanted a solution. So I appreciate your tuning in, and I appreciate Spokane's hospitality, and especially the fact that KSBN has graciously hosted me all this time, and I'm very appreciative of Red State Talk Radio to allow me to get this message out. But again, let's get focused on some real important content. And some of the stuff I've been covering on my national show is, you know, not only just this live organ harvesting, is this fact of Google and their marriage with China. Most people don't understand, but China has had this research and development search engine effort, and the code name for it is Project Dragonfly. And I'm not sure if you know this, but employees in Google have actually quit over the way they've been dealing and acting in China over the human rights violations that have been brought up to Google. It's like, it's absolutely appalling. I think the gentleman's name, I forget, I think it's Paulson, and you know I'm bad with names, but this gentleman that was one of the tech executives basically says, you know, the fact that we've gotten these 14 or some odd, a whole bunch of human rights complaints and so forth, and that Google is doing nothing. And the reason being is they're not being held accountable by the Chinese government because they're helping the Chinese government. And you have no idea how they're helping the Chinese government. They're helping the Chinese government with this new social program. It's called Social Credit Project. They actually are giving Chinese citizens social credits because, and they did this test evaluation on 1 million Chinese in an isolated city. You can probably swing a bat in any direction in China and be able to find a city with 1 million people. They put up millions of cameras all around the city to monitor the people day and night. that I'm sure they even require that they put cameras in their homes, and where those cameras go, that you literally have zero, if any, privacy at all. And these cameras not only monitor your actions, they monitor what you're saying. They use facial recognition as you travel around town. They're using a level of artificial intelligence that even Google has a code name on. But even more importantly, there's a documentary film director. His name's Peter Schweitzer. And he's actually asserting in his new film that's coming out that Google's philosophy aligns with the principles of the cult behind The Burning Man. And Schweitzer's new documentary is called The Creepy Line, is an investigation of the tech industry. And it actually should be released, like I said, anytime. But he is basically saying what absolutely astounds him is the dominance that Google has in the marketplace. And he's also surprised that the Google's founders have such a utopian vision. And if you understand what I'm really saying there, is the fact that I'm at a hard break. So you'll need to stay tuned to find out more of his thoughts on Google and their paradigm. So please stay tuned, and I'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Thank you so much. Most of my listeners understand the importance in having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategy for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile. I understand the appearance of your teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth, and many dentists will take your money just to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail, and if you don't have a long-term strategy for your teeth and dental health, then you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain and restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Von Tracy, DDS.com. That's VONTRACYDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Okay, so I am back, and just to tie in for that last promotion on progressive businesses and so forth, such as the NFL, I find it really interesting this year. I am not being bombarded with all sorts of hyperbole and ranting and jocularity from a lot of my friends, because many of us have just completely abandoned the NFL. And that is what you get when you become a promoter of an ideology that is not only repugnant, but it is dangerous. Anything that is promoting socialism and communism basically is the path to subjugation. If you understand what I'm saying, then you're probably in that same boat. I think there's many people that have kind of started recognizing the devil in the details, and therefore have willingly moved on. But anyway, back to Peter Schweitzer and his documentary, The Creepy Line. And like I said, it should be out at any time if it's not already. He was very surprised that the Google's founders have such a utopian vision. And what he meant by that is that they're making decisions based on what they believe is good. And right. You know, they're trying to promote their ideology instead of what users want and providing a user-oriented service. In other words, when you walk into a service-oriented business, whether that be a restaurant or maybe a cleaners or what have you, they're there to provide you a service, and you have an expectation that your clothes are going to get cleaned and pressed and so forth. You don't expect that when you turn in your wife or your mother's fur coat, like Jerry Seinfeld, you're not going to expect to see the cleaner's wife out at the movies or out of town watching, out on the town, wearing your mother's coat, right? I mean, there are ethics that you kind of expect out of these businesses. And if you don't understand what Google is doing, this utopian paradigm, it's not just Google. Facebook is doing the exact same thing. Twitter's doing the exact same thing. All of these guys have allowed themselves for their ideologies to begin to actually use their power unrighteously against the American public, against our constitutional framework. And they are literally working with China. Google is actively working with China, and Amazon's doing the same thing. And this actually has the reek of religious, theological, ideology implementation. This is what I've been talking about, and this is only the tip of the iceberg as you start peeling back the onion and just being myopic on Google alone. There is, a very insidious network that they have enveloped themselves in, and there's nobody else out there that's going to try to connect these dots for you. Schweitzer basically goes on and says that the leadership is idealistic, and again, they're epitomized by the Burning Man and that secularist sort of religious gathering in the Nevada desert. Google wants to be the transformative engine, and because it has a virtual monopoly, and it has literally the virtual monopoly in China, it is manipulating information, and basically it is affecting us as well. They're trying to do the exact same thing through filtering and blocking instead of giving the users what they're really requesting. They're telling you, support Amazon. When you're looking to buy something, support Amazon. They're getting their fellow brethren the business. You need to start going elsewhere. DuckDuckGo, believe it or not, that's actually the name of a search engine. DuckDuckGo that is not spying on you. And I'd highly recommend you abandon Amazon, abandon Google, because they are working to literally transform our American Constitutional Republic into a communist, idealistic world. They're very altruistic that way. And I'll even tell you this, that there is these huge problems that we'll get into in just a minute here. But what has been purported, and the reason why this chief scientist from the Google's cloud computing had left the unit, and this is a different leader that has actually left the unit from the Project Dragonfly that I mentioned before. There's a guy by the name of Fifi Li who resigned from the company because of dust-ups related to a different project that Google is doing called Project Maven. And so this is a controversial program because they're using artificial intelligence programs to actually start injecting, and this is where that social credit has been coming from. Remember what I was talking about previously. Was that Project Dragonfly, and now you hear of a new project that I'm telling you about. It is called Project Maven. And so if you actually go into this social credit, and there's a really good article on Need to Know News by G. Edward Griffin, he actually identifies this concept that in this million people, and I didn't give you the details on this, but the city that they tested this model on, what they did was they gave social credits, they rewarded people and gave them more benefits and more rewards if they were good government stooges, if they were good, if they did good things. You lost credit if you spoke bad about the police, a government person, about the government in general. and they actually punished them. And so what China has basically done through this project has been able to actually learn how to read, and they're getting to a point where they're actually using this artificial intelligence and these computer capabilities with this cloud-based computing and modeling, that they're actually able to get to a point where they're predicting behavior and almost reading your mind. And so a lot of people think, and G. Edward Griffin basically says that China and Google have created the beast. And so he's connecting the dots, and I'm trying to get this information to you. They are working to actually create a model, and actually China plans on by 2020, in 2 years, China is going to have enough cameras and a big enough network to basically straddle their entire country with this social credit system. Now, what are they going to do with all of these prisoners? Well, that's not a problem. They've got all of these prison camps that they've put up all over the place that are basically just mass hotels, or really bad mass hotels, that they, you know, basically put people in, and you become a part of their sampling for tissue and everything else, so that when somebody comes along and they need an organ, they just pull you out, take your organs and burn what's left of you, and that's it. And that is the paradigm of communism. That is, it's all about what's best for the state. And if you're against the state, you're no longer best for the state. You are a liability. You will be dealt with, because there's no point in trying to convert you. They don't need to convert you. They've already got a population problem, and this, you help them solve that problem. And if you want to understand this population problem and paradigm, I'd ask you to go familiarize yourself with these things called the Georgia Guidestones. These things were put up in the early 80s. This was the unsurfacing of the plan for the utopian world of communism. These Guidestones are just like they're called the American Stonehenge. Google it. Georgia Guidestones, and on the Guidestones, they say that the world's population, Earth's population, should never exceed 500 million. Well, shoot, America is almost 500 million alone. And so these folks actually have a plan of depopulating that many people so that they can have full control. So when China says that they really don't have a population problem at all, because as people help identify themselves, they just get rid of them, because that's better for the state. It is that evil. And if you start putting these things together, this live organ harvesting and everything else, I want to know why we want to do any business with China. Why did Nixon give China the most favored nation status? Why is it that we're continually allowing China to get away with these types of policies and even doing trade with them? Trump has more than my support. He should actually just stop trading with China. There should be an appeal nationwide, worldwide, in actually shutting down China's economy and saying, if you do not become a humane government in treating your people with humane policies and so forth, and freeing these political prisoners and shutting down this insidious organ harvesting, you've got to be kidding me. We've got to stop this. We have to stop this. I think we have an obligation as a society, as people who believe and understand the importance of liberty in society, we have that obligation. Now, I can see that I'm going to be coming up on a hard break, and so I apologize. I have not been able to get into the Stevens County issues yet, but we will. I've got one more segment coming up after this hard break. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to get into the candidates and the paradigms, because if you start reading through the candidates' positions and statements, or if you go to any of these candidate meet and greets where you can actually see all of the candidates in front, you have to listen to the buzzwords and the catchphrases that these folks are using. They are using the communistic, I'll call them buzzwords. You know, a government for the people and by the people. Well, actually, what they're really telling you is that kind of concept of we the people is not in support of a representative Republican form of government. What it is moving us into a democracy, which is the fast track to communism. Every state that has utilized, and the framers understood, that's why they stayed, they made sure they protected themselves from instilling a full democracy. But anyway, I'll be right back after word from our sponsors. Don't go away. It's that time of year to get that dental checkup and cleaning. I know many of us are creatures of habit, and we tend to settle for what we know. And many of us are procrastinators. I was that way myself with my past dentist, jumping from one dentist chair to the next. From all the hopping, I've learned that all dentists are not equal, and I would challenge you to consider checking out Dr. Von Tracy. I work hard to make a living, and I'm not one to throw my hard-earned money away on just a good dentist. That's why it took me a couple of years to find a great dentist. From the excellence of his staff to the quality of the work, Dr. Tracy is the difference. I know it's time to put standards to our loyalty, so I would ask you to give Dr. Tracy a try by setting up your next appointment with him. Just go to VONTRACYDDS.com or call them at 509-466-6614. Again, sign up at VONTRACYDDS.com. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, so we're back, and as I promised, I really wanted to get into, and so I'm going to get into the Stevens County race. But there's an overlap with Stevens County and Spokane County in this race, which is the legislative seat in Legislative District 7, or the seats that are up, and all three seats are up this year. So we've got both Senator Shelley Short, who is running for re-election, as well as Jacqueline Maycumber, who is running for re-election for her representative seat, and she'll be back up again in 2 years if she wins, God willing, and Joel Kretz, who will be defending his seat this year and hopefully back up for re-election next year. These folks are good folks. Now, I don't get a chance to really meet with them and talk to them, and I would love to. I'd love to get their time because I would like to get their perspective on the Constitution. But what's more important and what is really the glaring problem isn't, you know, whether these people, you know, how much they love and understand the Constitution, because I know they do to a degree. I don't know what degree that is, but I will tell you that their candidates that are running against them are using all of the progressive buzzwords. And I have to warn you that you reap what you sow if you do not understand this. When somebody starts getting up and starts using demagoguery, they are demagogues. I ask you to read Plato's book on politics. He warns us not to bite into demagoguery. I have a problem when you're looking at local levels. I can understand at the national level, you are going to get demagoguery probably on all sides, because you can easily find all sorts of little issues to be a demagogue about. But when it comes to using demagoguery and attacking and making allegations that can't be proven, that absolutely can be disproven, then you have a problem. And that's exactly what Karen Hardy is doing. She's doing a full frontal assault on little Shelley Short, on telling us that Shelley is corrupt, that she's personally benefiting, and they're doing the same thing with Joel Kratz and so forth. And I'm telling you, these folks are, they are being labeled and castigated by these secular progressives because that's the tactics that they use. They've been doing this for a long time. They first started with the KKK when, as soon as the Democratic Party was established, Van Buren's first thing he did was he invoked the, the gag order, technically. And as a matter of fact, if you go to Black and Blonde Media, there is a great historic timeline to how oppressive and how evil the Democrats have been since their existence. And they were doing this to confront the Republicans because the party that was born from Madison and Jefferson, you may have learned that those were the Democrats, but they weren't. Those were the Republicans. The Republican Party basically became the dominant party by James Monroe timeframe, because the Federalists at that point literally couldn't win a seat. So we became almost a uniparty system, and we were all Republicans until the Democrats were able, I should say, the Federalists found a home amongst this concocting plan of Van Buren and Andrew Jackson in unseating John Quincy Adams so that they could start playing their divisive games in dividing and conquering America. And they've been very successful since. And to speak to how evil it was way back then, John Quincy Adams, instead of just retiring because he recognized the evilness of what the Democrats were doing, he spent the rest of his life in service in the Senate, not because he needed a job. I challenge anybody to say he was making money, because back then, it was a seat of nobility, if you want to call it that, even though we don't believe in nobility in this nation. John Quincy Adams did not make, enough money to really cover his costs. That's all they were doing back then, was literally just covering your costs to be able to get to D.C., do your job, and then go home so you could make your money. It was truly a sacrifice to serve in these capacities back then. And so when John Quincy Adams dedicated the rest of his life in the abolition movement, in fighting slavery as a senator after becoming president, to me, I'm just telling you, that is the character in the metal of that man. And he recognized the evil and he set the example as a leader. Instead of trying to divide and conquer, he tried to unify and he tried to build alliances. And actually, I'm telling you, because of him and what he did, he was able to create bring more credibility and help move the abolition movement in the direction that caused the Civil War. And so he was fighting the Democrats all along. We've been fighting the Democrats all along, and with the Civil Rights Act, I'm going to tell you, in connecting the dots, the Civil Rights Act didn't change or force the Democrats to go away in their divisive nature. It gave them all sorts of leverage all of a sudden to be even more divisive with their affirmative action and all of these other things. As I was talking to some people the other day, if you understand slavery and what happens from slavery, the important thing, and England, and I talk about this in my book, I gave you three examples of three nations, actually four, I'll get to the fourth in just a second, but there were three nations that actually dealt with slavery about the same time and the differences in what they did. In America, we know what we did. We actually fought a civil war that was originally, it was about economics. And if you read most people think it was about economics, and it was over labor, the economics of labor. Go read the proclamations of secession from the states that actually made official proclamations. It was all about slavery to them. They left the Union over slavery. Lincoln wasn't going to let them leave. The South never attacked the North. A civil war is where two factions are trying to take control over a nation. The Civil War, literally, they just wanted wanted to be able to maintain slavery. What Lincoln should have done, instead of trying to make it an economic issue and trying to obfuscate the matter at hand, he should have followed the Monroe Doctrine and said, okay, if that's the case, you want to leave America and you don't want to be a part of this republic anymore, then fine. We will now basically emancipate all slaves, and bottom line, we are now waging a war in the Western Hemisphere with the Monroe Doctrine in basically eradicating slavery, and we will start with you first, and then we'll work our way through the South and go through, you know, Brazil and so forth, and literally free everybody. Because literally, that's what happened about that point in time. If you understand, in the 60s, 1860s, almost the entire world became embroiled in trying to end slavery. And America was the catalyst for that with its Declaration of Independence. And I'm going way into too much history, but suffice it to say that the Democrats have been the evil dividers and conquerors and trying to always maintain control over the people. And that's why they have been infiltrated by the communists in the early 1900s. And today, if you look at all of these elections, Lisa Brown is a communist. There's no doubt in my mind. There's evidence that she was a huge supporter. I mean, there's articles out there of her supporting the Sandinistas. Are you kidding me? That was a communist terroristic organization. She has a huge affinity. And what I wanted to ask in a local forum, and if you go ask this question of all the Democrats standing there, with the fact that Lisa Brown has an affinity for communism, how do you align with her? Do you support her or not? Because that's exactly how the Democrats like to be divisive. So let's play their game and call them out and say, do you support Lisa Brown or not? Because if you do, that means you're a communist and you believe that every American should be subjected to the state and you should have no place being here in a political fashion or serving people in a public forum, because that undermines the Constitution and our principles of individual liberty and sovereignty. So getting through these Democratic candidates in every capacity up in Stevens County, vote Republican. Do not allow any Democrat to take a seat. Now, I will tell you that there are some other Republican battles up in Stevens County, and some of these are pretty interesting, but I want to focus right now, and I'll have more focus on a couple of other elections up there on the 10th, because I hope to have some of the candidates speak, but I want to focus on the sheriff up there. I want you to know that Randall, the existing sheriff, the current sheriff, was actually going to run for election, but because there are so many problems that are steeped in his administration as sheriff, that he basically realized that the gig was up. He has basically been misusing funds and so forth, and they're trying to get an investigation. And so there are two sheriffs that basically had stepped in. One was stepped in last minute to basically replace, and it was anointed by Kendall, and that's Brad Menke. And Brad Menke is the status quo person that is going to basically protect Randall. The really scary thing is that they started applying deep state principles, and as soon as Randall stepped back and everything was starting to really focus on some of the corruption, these are allegations, but there's allegations of corruption going on up there. And the interesting thing is, as soon as that started really surfacing and buzzing around, Mike Berry is all of a sudden under the microscope being investigated by his own department so that they can try to find things on him. And I'm going, you got to be kidding me. That is the deep state tactics. So there is really, to me, it's a clear choice. You got to vote for Mike Berry and you got to get him to become sheriff up there. And we'll focus on more of these races up there on the 10th. So I will be back next week. We'll have other candidates, hopefully Dave Lucas and Tim Normsby. God bless. And we'll be back next week. See ya.